Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time. It's Tuesday here on Sports Time Radio. I'm the Big Jack. With me is Dan the Man. If you'd like to call into the podcast, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need? Head on over to sportstimeradio.com. Now, you know, the new blogs go up on Wednesdays and Saturday mornings, so you can swing on over there tomorrow morning and check out what's going on. Of course, while you're at sportstimeradio.com, you want to hit that link. Get yourself over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. If you could like that while you're over there, well, hey, Dan and I would greatly appreciate it. You know how Mr. Fantasy is. He doesn't like anything, but Dan and I would greatly appreciate it. There's also the Sports Time Radio Twitter feed, which is at Sports Time Radio. Now, you can find Dan and I on Twitter as well. I am at Burke Time, and Dan the Man is at?
Dan the Man with three E's.
Oh, so, all right, Dan, you know, lots of stuff going on, but I have to start with one of your personal favorites. Your guy, LeVar, has yanked Jello out of UCLA. You know, very, very unhappy. Apparently, he's done there. LaMelo won't be going there, even though there's pretty much zero chance of LaMelo being eligible for college because he is being homeschooled now. They're looking over their other options, which include possibly Jello playing overseas. Well, he's your guy. What the hell's going on with him?
Oh, I mean, what other option do you have? Your son screwed everything up.
Come on. LeVar said it wasn't that big of a deal.
I mean, what other option does he have? He's not going to play in UCLA.
He can actually go to another college, be it a junior college or something like that. I don't know if he would be eligible to play this year, especially since the season is up and running. But he could always, you know, make a move like that. I don't know how interesting it would be. But do you think it would be kind of humorous if he ended up playing in China?
That would be a good one. For a team sponsored by
Oh, how funny would that be if it ended up being that? Well, I just thought, you know, he's upset because, you know, they're still suspended indefinitely. And it's just kind of like, I don't know what, you know, kind of what he expected. So I'm not sure, you know, because like he actually came out and said it was no big deal. I guess, you know, shoplifting in the Ball family isn't that big a deal. And he mentioned off that they would have been, or the punishment is worse here than it was in China. Now, again, I don't have a law degree or anything like that, but I believe the fact that if they would have been tried in China, they would have gotten 3 to 10 years is probably a little worse than sitting out, say, the first 10 games of the college basketball season, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. Well, then, I mean, it's going to be a lot worse here because it's embarrassing. You've got our president over there trying to, you know, number one, you've got our president over there trying to, you know, kind of really, you know, put together better negotiations and get on a better stance with China and introducing, you know, not only the NBA in China, now you're trying to bring the college over there and, you know, the first big collegiate game there, and look what happened.
Yeah, you know, I mean, it's just, yeah, I... you know, and I mean, I feel bad for the kid because, you know, LiAngelo is the less talented of the three. So, you know, like LeVar had already said he was going to be in one and done. They were all going to be one and done. You know, it didn't matter. Now, you know, Dana, I did just realize there is a chance that he could play in the G League if somebody would be willing to take him on as an undrafted player. But, I don't know. Maybe that's an opportunity he could have. But, you know, like LaMelo is going to run into problems because, you know, he's got a sneaker deal, and that's going to question his amateur status when it comes to college basketball. So I wouldn't expect him to be playing at UCLA. I know, you know, there was a big deal there with all that, but that's, you know, you got to remember the universities are the ones who are allowed to make the money. The players aren't. And I guess the other kind of funny story is LaMelo was driving around in a, I think I heard somebody say Ferrari, or the report said Ferrari. So I thought that was kind of humorous. And obviously, you know, yeah, obviously they can afford it. It's not that big a deal, but it's just kind of humorous when you look at it that, you know, he's riding around in that, and there's, you know, probably kids there who can't afford cars. So is LaVar's entire objective – is LaVar's entire objective just the fact that he wants them to get beat up? Is that, you know, is that the deal? Because, I mean, that's kind of all it, you know, all it seems to lead to here. I mean, these are the kinds of things that get you beat up.
Well, maybe in our day, your day more so than mine, but not today, you know.
Yeah.
You know, nobody wants to beat these guys up. They want to, I don't want to say leech off of, but they definitely want to be like those little fish that hang around sharks and eat the scraps, you know?
Yeah.
That's today's society. I forgot what they're called. But, you know, that's today's society. You want to have the most likes and the most followers on your Instagram and, you know, the most followers on your YouTube page if you have one. And, I mean, we've already seen that made a college football player quit football, pursue a YouTube career.
All right, just so you know, the fish attack the sharks are called Remora.
No, they don't attack the sharks. They hang around with the sharks.
They're attached. The fish that attach themselves to the sharks.
Oh, okay.
I had to that just to make sure I had that correctly. I had to bing that because I know how you are with binging things. So, but yeah, I just, I don't know. It's just kind of, it's kind of funny that, you know, it goes from, you know, goofy to goofier. I know you tweeted out the article on the Sports Time Radio Facebook page about the Lakers enforcing the rule about reporters not being able to talk to, is it parents or fans or something?
Just anybody, family, friends, whoever's hanging out in the tunnel, waiting for the players to come out of the locker room. You know,
so yeah,
so
I found that interesting that it didn't take long.
Yeah, and apparently that's been a rule that's always been there. It's just never really been enforced until now.
Yeah, you know, it's like, well, you know, I guess it makes sense because he, you know, he has a tendency to just, you know, and I get his shtick now. I mean, it's the object of he's going to say whatever it takes to get attention. You know, he's got a lot of money on the line, and I know he's taken a lot of heat. I guess they finally sent out some of the shoes. Not everybody has gotten their shoes, but some of the shoes have went out, and apparently it's not what you ordered. So you just got to kind of live with whatever shoes you got or whatever for the $400 or $500 or whatever you paid for it, because, you know, there are no... You know, there are no refunds, so I'm willing to bet you can't send them back. So, you know, he's taken a little bit of heat from that, and he, you know, it's just, you know, he desperately wants his 15 minutes. You know, he didn't get it as a player, and man, he's got the opportunity now, and he's going to get it come hell or high water, man. He doesn't care about anything. So.
Yeah, but you've got to,
you know, it is a nice spotter. So, will it all what?
You got to wonder if Angelo would all be worth it. You know, I mean, Lonzo didn't make it to the Lakers, but, you know, you mentioned the shoe thing, Jello stealing in China, which, I mean, you know, the other side of it, too, is you got to imagine with the whole team together, a bunch of young men, it was probably kind of a dare type deal. You know, someone's big mouth was like, I could probably just take this stuff.
Yeah.
And you won't do it, you know. Yeah,
well, you know, I mean, I could easily see them saying, well, you know, we're UCLA or we're this and that. Nobody's going to say anything if we do this. You know, and I mean, you know, Jello especially, you know, you got to figure these kids have got to have quite a bit of ego. You know, maybe not so much Lonzo because, you know, he's facing – professional competition right now, but you know LaMelo's going to be the biggest toolbox when he finally gets wherever he's going, just because of the way he's treated now. So it's, you know, I don't know if I want to call it interesting, but it makes it watchable because, you know, really I'm to the point where I just want to see what idiotic move this guy is going to make next. So, you know, there's always just one, you know, one stupid thing after another, either coming out of his mouth or, you know, whatever action he's doing. And it's just like, really? Okay. I don't know, you know, how much attention this gets you or if this is what you want, but you know, I can't assume, you know, LiAngelo is starting for anybody in the NBA in 2018 unless it's, you know, the Bulls or the Nets or one of the bottom feeder teams like that. You know, any team that's going to be a contender probably isn't starting this guy. And, you know, it gets to the point where if he's not as talented as the brothers, you know, you may not even have a spot for him because, you know, if he's the 10th or 12th man, kind of like the Colin Kaepernick situation, being the backup quarterback, you don't want these distractions out of guys who are riding the bench. So, you know, there's a chance that, you know, LiAngelo finds himself, you know, staying in the G League or overseas or wherever it is because – if he can't start and help a team, they're not going to want him because they're not going to want to put up with daddy.
No, and, you know, the chance to prove himself and to prove his game has just been completely taken away. Or,
yeah,
would you say he pissed it away?
Well, you know, I don't think it was his decision to leave school. You know, I think he may have wrote out the suspension. And you can't, I don't think it was going to be a year-long thing. You know, like if they would have unsuspended those players now, I don't think anybody would have had a problem with it. You know, they didn't steal $1 million. It was just some stupid items out of a Louis Vuitton store that they shouldn't have done. I believe they've paid their price now. So, you know, I wouldn't have a problem if they let them start playing again. But, yeah, I give the school credit for keeping them out this long. You know, a lot of schools, it would have been one or two games, and that would have been it.
How many has it been now?
Oh, wow. You know, I'm trying to think off the, off the top of my head how many games – you know, UCLA has played. Let me see if I can bing it here real quick and get a number or something here. It looks like they've played 8. So, you know, that, I mean, so maybe, you know, maybe they were going to 10. Maybe that was the plan. You know, because, I mean, an eight-game suspension could be a little weird. But, you know, 10 is a nice round number. Maybe that's where they were headed. You know, obviously, we won't know until those other two kids come off suspension. And hopefully somebody will report that because, you know, the reason this story got as much press as it did is because it involved a ball. You know, if it would have been three other guys from UCLA, you know, it may all be over with by now.
I mean, now that Jello's gone, do you just unsuspend these guys just for the hell of it?
Yeah, you know, I think I would to rub it in LeVar's face and make it seem like he yanked the kid out right as they were going to remove the suspension. You know, but that would be me, and I'm petty and bitter like that. I don't know if the school would do that or if they care enough to do that. But, yeah, I definitely – that would have been the first thing I did after he you know, left. And oddly, it was funny because LeVar said he didn't even bother to tell UCLA that he was leaving because they never told him anything. I don't really think it's their responsibility to tell you anything, buddy. You're not on the team. It's your kid on the team. And, you know, just kind of one of those deals. But, yeah, if it was me, I'd be like, hey, guys, suit up. You're playing next game.
Well, legally,
yeah,
they don't,
you know, like,
have to tell the parents anything.
No. You know, and there's, I mean, there's, you know, all you got to tell him is he's suspended. You know, if he wants to know when it was going to end, all they got to say is, well, we don't know.
You can't even call and ask the school how his grades are to the parent.
Yeah. Oh, and you damn well know he was on the phone every day trying to get a hold of somebody wanting to know when the suspension was going to end.
Mm-hmm.
You know. He's, you know, or unless he was at, you know, one of Lonzo's games or something, but, you know, it's just kind of like, okay, you know, this tool bag and, you know, but, you know, he gives sports writers something to talk about, and he definitely enjoys the attention. You know, I was wondering when it was getting to the point where he would just have his own press conferences after Laker games. So,
I mean, why not? You just hire, you know, not even hire anybody. He's got the family, the brothers, and he's got a big, pretty big family himself, you know. Just find a spot outside the Staples Center. I'm sure he could get a permit and just shoot live, you know, right to YouTube or Facebook.
So, yeah, it definitely wouldn't be be a problem there. But all right, we got to get off this story because if I was awake yesterday, this was the first thing I wanted to bring up with you. And, you know, we obviously didn't get a chance because I had some issues here. But, you know, your guy, you know, Shohei Ohtani.
Oh, my guy.
I don't know, because you can't say his first name. But, you know, normally he's Mr. Fantasy's guy, but he's got no shot at pronouncing either name. You know, he actually turned down the Yankees, told the Yankees that he wasn't interested in signing there, and he has a list of seven teams. Now, no surprising, it's the entire West Coast, the Dodgers, Angels, Giants, Padres, and Mariners. And I'm not really quite surprised that the Rangers are on this list either, but the big shock is the seventh team is the Cubs.
It sounds really cool. I just don't see it happening. I think this
with the Cubs, let me ask you my question here, then I'll let you go on with the Cubs. Do you think they would allow him to play the field? Because they have Jason Hayward in right, who's obviously a cold look.
I didn't realize he played the field. I know he was a bad, you know, solid hitter. You never know. I mean, why not? Especially with the way Joe does things. You know, the only guy that has a set position and lineup in the batting order is Anthony Rizzo. And mostly Chris Bryant. But other than that, I mean, you could show up on Monday and you're batting second, and you show up on Friday and you're batting ninth. You know?
Yeah. You know, yeah, I just thought that, you know, interesting. You know, and the Cubs, of course, are limited. You know, they can only offer him, I want to say, $300,000 in bonus money because they don't have any international money. You know, they're definitely, you know, short there. But, yeah, you know, I found that really the, I want to say, the oddest choice on his list because I had heard all the rumors that he wanted to stay on the West Coast.
Yeah.
You know, so that I wasn't surprised when I saw all those names kind of drop out and fall out. It was like, okay, I get this. But yeah, you know, you look at some of the teams. I mean, just in order here, we got the Angels. Obviously, they could use a pitcher, but if you're going to allow him to hit, well, there's kind of a clog at DH there with a future Hall of Famer by the name of Pujols. You know, their outfield is a little wrapped up now that they re-upped with Upton. They got Trout in center, and, you know, Cole Calhoun is, you'd have to say, an above-average right fielder in Major League Baseball. I don't know. Do you work? I mean, obviously, you're not a winner. I think even if you get him, you're not a winner. Do you work it out to where he plays just to get him signed?
I mean, I don't really know what he's looking for. You know, he said money's not the option, you know, the biggest deal. But from the article I was reading before we started and before my lovely AT&T LTE internet decided to just stop working, you know, me personally, I'm narrowing it down to three teams. Rangers, your Mariners, and the Giants. But number one, I think the Rangers, obviously, because they have the most money to give. And number two, they have been scouting him and were going to sign him out of high school, but he decided to stay in Japan. So I think, you know, things definitely lean a little bit more towards the Rangers in that essence, where there's that history. Kind of like you wonder if, you know, Darvish is going to re-sign with the Dodgers because they originally wanted to sign him before he came here, came stateside and went to the Rangers. The downside, I think, with the Rangers is, I think with him coming in, like you said, the dual player stuff, and then they're, you know, maybe a year or two out, depending on a few some other signings this offseason before actually competing. And that kind of goes along with the Mariners, too. I do think they'd have a great, huge boost if they were to bring him in. I'll let you break down kind of what their outfield might look like if he was able to play the other couple days a week. But, I mean, honestly, you know, the fact that he threw out there that the money is not the biggest issue, but I think in the long run, the best fit for him would be in San Francisco.
Yeah, you know, like you mentioned Seattle. It is interesting. You know, obviously they could figure out in, you know, how they want to handle him between starts. He could either DH and you could have Nelson Cruz go to the outfield, or Ohtani could go to the outfield and Cruz could stay in the DH spot. So, you know, that would work there. You know, the one thing that seems to be the negative towards Seattle is, oh, you know, one of the things Ohtani said is he doesn't want to be on a major league team with another Japanese pitcher. And obviously, you know, the Mariners just re-signed, you know, Iwakuma. So I don't know how big of a red flag that is to him. You know, that was one of the things that kind of put the Dodgers in the hole, obviously, if they have Kenta Maeda. So I don't know if or why he didn't want to go to a team with, you know, a Japanese pitcher. But then Brian Cashman speculated, and I don't know if he's got resources on this or what, that he didn't want to sign with the Yankees because he wants to go to a smaller market team, which would be another strike against the Dodgers. You know, that's definitely not small market. You know, that would also be against a strike against the Cubs and the Angels. You know, maybe even the Giants. I don't know if the Giants would be considered small market. But, you know, that's a big plus for the Mariners. And, you know, the Padres are in the running. I don't know if I haven't heard if he wanted to, if he's got to go to a winner, or if he wants to go to a contender. But, you know, if he's looking for playing time, San Diego may be the landing spot, because there's absolutely no reason he can't play right field any day he doesn't pitch, because there's, you know, they're a blank slate. I mean, they have Manuel Margot in the outfield, but in center field, just about every other position on that team is open. So I guess, you know, maybe if, you know, we had a little better idea of what he was looking for, you know, because obviously, you know, the Dodgers have culture on their side. You know, Los Angeles has a huge, you know, Japanese-American, you know, living situation there. So he would, you know, he would definitely fit in if or where or wherever he wanted to go. I guess he's planning a meeting with all seven of these teams.
In Los Angeles,
a little more then. Is it in Los Angeles? Okay.
Yeah.
Well, it's probably an easier flight for him, right?
Yeah. Well, the Rangers, I guess, met today. I get the. I didn't read the report about him not wanting to be on a team with another Japanese pitcher, but you've got to imagine if that were the case, you would definitely, you know, he crossed off the Yanks. Maybe he might as well just cross off the Dodgers, because you've got two, you know, Japanese pitchers that are going to garner more attention, so to speak, where I don't think Iwakuma would get the media coverage that Ohtani would get.
No, oh no, definitely not.
You know, but I'm not even going to say anything. I want to make so many smart-ass comments about that, but, you know, I don't know. That's just from what I looked at, and, of course, you know, he'll probably surprise the hell out of us and sign with, you know, the Padres.
Yeah. You know, yeah, it's one of those weird things. It's just kind of like, you know, where the hell is he going to – you know, gonna end up going, you know, because like when the list came out, I was shocked to see that there were, you know, that the Yankees weren't on it and he had no interest in playing there. You know, I really thought that was going to be where he ended up.
Yeah, I was a little bit more surprised to see the Cubs on it, to be honest.
Yeah, that was kind of a shock. I didn't expect them in the end to be kind of hanging around there, but... you know, that's, you know, somehow managed to, you know, to work things out. But, you know, what do they got till about the end of the month to get this worked out on where he's going now?
The 22nd.
Yeah. Well. But, yeah, you know, that's, we'll see. It'll, you know, I'm sure we'll get, you know, this will be the new Giancarlo Stanton story, where we'll get, you know, a report every, you know, so often on who's going to get him, or where he's going, or how it's going to work out, and, you know, all that other fun stuff. So.
Oh yeah. Well, you just reminded me of the breaking news. Everybody wants to sign Stanton or
yeah.
Trade for Stanton.
Yeah. So yeah, that's that was always humorous. I did hear the word kind of leaked on what the Giants were going to be giving up to get him, and surprisingly, no major league players involved in the deal. I'm trying to remember all their names. I know it was Tyler Beede, Elliott. I might have been Ramos, who's a lower minor league guy. Christian Arroyo was in the deal, and there was a fourth one, and I can't remember who their name was. I was looking to get a little more confirmation on it ever since, but all I found lately is general framework of the deal. So I've been kind of looking to see if... you know, the more names are associated with, you know, with what was going on, but nobody's really kind of, you know, let the cat out of the bag yet, except for the one person on Twitter who was reporting it.
Well, I think we both could be safe to assume that they're not going to give up any international pool money, neither the thoughts that the Marlins would need it right now.
Yeah. Yeah, no, they gave all their international pool money to the Yankees in that trade. So, you know. And now the Yankees won't be needing it.
Yeah. Well, I guess it's good to have, right? Just put it in the bank. You know, that's one of the things you've got to imagine. We won't really see Stanton move until Ohtani gets signed. And, I mean, for lack of a better word, this is another reason why I think the Giants would be the perfect fit for him. If they're able to land Stanton and then they bring in Ohtani, and, you know, you have Madison Bumgarner, one, and number two, Ohtani, with Jeff Samardzija and Johnny Cueto. I mean, you know, you'd hope, obviously, that Cueto would have a better year next year and you just get a little bit less run given up by, what's his name, Samardzija. You know, because he's obviously still a solid pitcher. He's going to give you at least seven innings if they don't pull him, which Bochy's not a quick trigger on these guys. And he's still going to get you 10 to 12 strikeouts a game. Which you hope that your offense kind of makes up for the three or four, possibly five home runs that he gives up in a game. Because with those strikeouts, he seems to give up those home runs. But, I mean, can you imagine having Stanton in that lineup with those guys and with what they already have and then adding Ohtani to it? And the fact that, you know, the structure of the CBA now, you know, the Giants really don't have to break the bank to sign Ohtani, like the A's and the Rangers did to sign Cespedes and you. Darvish, that is, not you.
Yeah.
Would have been nice to sign you. You know, so and then thinking about the market, you know, obviously it's New York, Chicago, LA. So if he's not really into a big market, I still think, you know, take the Cubs out because it's really not West Coast, and you know, while there is a, you know, communities, I wouldn't say it's as large as say the West Coast. And then, you know, like you said, big markets taking out the Dodgers and the Angels of Anaheim of Los Angeles. You know, that kind of leaves you with the handful of teams really, and that just to me, it's like all signs point to the Giants, but. You and I have thought that all signs pointed other places, and we were completely surprised.
So, yeah, now I found this to be interesting because I saw somebody call this a significant free agent signing today, and it was the Cardinals. They signed a pitcher by the name of Miles, I'm going to guess this is Mikolas, to a two-year $15.5 million deal. So I pulled up his stats. He last pitched in Major League Baseball in 2014. In 3 years, he's pitched in a career 37 games. He made 10 starts. He's 4-6 with a 5.32 ERA. And it was just kind of like, okay, well, this is – I couldn't quite – figure out why this was such a, you know, huge signing or however you want to look at it, but apparently he's been playing the last 3 years in Japan for the Yokohama Giants. His first year there, he was 13-3 with a 1.92 ERA in 21 starts. In 2016, he was 4-2 with a 2.45 ERA in just 14 starts. And then last year, he was 14-8 with a 2.25 ERA in 27 starts. So does that make it a significant signing to you, Dan? A guy coming back looking to reignite his career, or in certain cases, getting his career going?
I would say so, but that's only because of the Brewers and now I can't even think of his name. And their first baseman that they signed coming out of Japan.
Derek Thames.
Derek Thames. I wouldn't say it's a significant signing. I would say it's a signing for sure. You know, it would be significant if it had significant amount of money and a significant amount of years. But $15 million for 2 years, or what did you say, 15.5? Which one was it?
Yeah.
15.5. So, you know, what is that, seven? You know, if you round it up in a fraction, 7 2/3 per year. I don't know if he got any signing bonuses or not, but, you know, if it doesn't work out, he'll be in the bullpen in the second year, and you know, that'll be the end of it. So I really wouldn't call it a significant signing. It would be significant if you added 4 years to that contract, maybe three with an option for the fourth. At, you know, what would you say, roughly $30 million? Would you think that would be a little bit more significant?
Yeah, and I mean, obviously, you know, more money, more years, and you know, I've been trying to think of the last guy to come back and have success. You know, what pitcher went to Japan, and then turned around and came back, and I only thought of one guy who popped into my head, and he's definitely your guy.
Oh, who's that?
Colby Lewis. So Colby Lewis spent 2 years in Japan, 2008, 2009, before coming back with Texas, you know, for, what was it, five or six years. But he was 15-8 his first year in Japan and 11-9 his second year before coming back. You know, and then he picked up, he had, what was it, 4 double-digit win years with the Rangers. Never really put up the low ERA, but did win 17 games in 2015. You know, had a big ERA at 4.66, and that's why sabermetric people hate the win. You know, you keep your team in games, you know, when you're, you know, maybe they scored a lot of runs for you. You just want to get out there and throw strikes and keep your team in games. And, you know, Lewis, you know, he did that. He picked up his share of wins, but he's the only guy. You know, I'm kind of thinking off the top of my head as a pitcher who came back, you know, and obviously, you know, Dan mentioned Eric Thames a little, or, you know, just a minute or two ago in the conversation. And, you know, he came back and had some success. We'll see if it's long-term, you know, it was just 1 year. But pitching wise, yeah, it seems to be a bigger question or a bigger issue to come back and, you know, put up those kind of numbers. And I'm trying to get it off the top of my head here and figure out who the heck left and came back. And, you know, yeah, there aren't that many. And I mean, even Japanese pitchers coming here, you know, they haven't all been successful. You know, Hideo Nomo had a little bit of a run. The Yankees had the guy who just recently passed away. Well, maybe it was a little longer than that. You know, they paid big money for him. The White Sox had the closer that was successful for a short period of time. You know, Yu Darvish has really been the guy who's hit it big. And, you know, we'll have to see if, you know, will Ohtani be the next guy, or will he just kind of fall into that? You know, to be fair, Tanaka has put up numbers. There's been injury questions every year with the guy, but he has put up good numbers. So he looks like a real good signing there. But, yeah, I'm just trying to think of, you know, pitchers coming back that have been really successful. And I don't think the Cardinals mentioned if they were going to look at him as a spot in the rotation, or how it's how it's going to work out here, but I think if they're going after this guy and they're paying him, they're going to try to at least take a look at him in the rotation because they could use a little help there. So we'll have to see. But yeah, for the life of me, here you go. I found an article. They say he may actually. Oh no, that's Alex Reyes. Never mind. It looks like they're going to start Alex Reyes in the bullpen. So who knows what they'll do with this Mikolas, or I'd probably butcher him that, but. Yeah, I don't know, Dan. You got another American pitcher who went to Japan and came back and was successful?
Came back? No.
Yeah.
I want to use my line, my phone call for that question. Call Mr. Fantasy.
Yeah. Yeah. Like he would know. So, yeah. Just thinking about it, like I remember Kobe Lewis. But other than that, I can't think of anybody who, came back and really, really put up, big numbers. So, just one of those things. But, we'll see. There were some other, I think at this point you call them minor signings. The Rangers agreed with Mike Minor. I believe they actually signed him to one of those, minor league deals with the invite to spring training. The Angels signed Kevin Matan, and then the Royals added Willy Peralta. So, the kind of on the edges guys who are going to be middle relievers and stuff like that are getting signed. And then the Phillies did announce today that they did hire Rob Thompson as their bench coach. That was kind of the expected move when he didn't get the Yankee job. So he's going to be he was the bench coach for the Yankees for a long time. And now he's going to help Gabe Kapler out, first-time manager in Philadelphia there. So that was finally official. But, yeah, that was kind of the big baseball stuff, obviously, minus you and I never got a chance to talk about it. Aaron Boone officially being hired as the Yankees manager.
Yeah, I couldn't remember if we talked about that or not, if we had the opportunity to.
No, because I believe he officially got signed over the weekend. So, it just kind of one of those things. But, and I did see one of those Brave prospects that got released did ink a deal. I thought it was with the Royals, but I don't remember which guy it was or that. So one of those guys go. But, jumping back to Boone here real quick, was this kind of the move you expected after, I know we talked about the list a little bit. You kind of figured he was going to get the job. This is what Cashman was looking for?
Yeah, I mean, I think in the end, what it comes down to is, when you brought up the fact that each one of the interviewees was going to have to do a press conference, I mean, who obviously had the most experience being that he was in the mothership's booth and, might as well better off taking a job before you're on the list of guys that's got to be let go from them. So, I mean, I guess I really didn't think about it like that until the signing happened, but when I read it, all I could think of was, well, that makes complete sense because he's got the media experience, so to speak. He's been on the other side of the media, with the lack of experience in management role, that means how do you put this politely? He'll lean and go along with what Cashman's plan is maybe a little bit easier, so as not to step on any toes to grab that experience as a major league coach without having to do like a Joe Maddon type deal, which I know there's a lot of guys that do that, go that route.
So, yeah, I'm interested to, kind of see how or if or whatever this way kind of goes. I just, you know, obviously, you know, we know he doesn't have any experience, you know, as a manager, but he's been around the game. You know, his family, you know, came through the game, you know, his grandfather, his father, his brother, Brett. There was actually even a, another brother, Matthew, that didn't make it, ended up with the Tigers and the Reds in the minor leagues. So it's, you know, it's definitely been a, you know, a lifelong pursuit, I guess you would call it. So we'll have to see if, you know, if he's successful or how things work out for him.
And would you say, you know, I mean, obviously we're kind of baseball guys, pretty much baseball guys. So, you know, growing up, I knew who both he and Brett were, you know, big time from collecting cards and, you know, reading the newspaper, believe it or not. The time I was probably like 8 or 9. I don't remember how old, young I was. But would you say he has a huge name, a big name? I mean, I think he would have a bigger name, obviously, in New York, being that he played with the Yanks. And I believe he was on a World Series team. But, you know, does he have a big name?
I don't know if I would call it big. You know, he's got a name. You know, and then he has the highlight, you know, that home run against the Red Sox that sent the Yankees into the World Series. So, you know, he does have that. What's odd is when I wrote about it in the blog on Saturday, and when you look it up, you know, he only played like 54 games with the Yankees. He was a trade deadline pickup, and then he got hurt that next offseason playing pickup basketball, and they let him go because he violated his contract. So yeah, it's you know, I guess the, you know, him as the higher, you know, okay, you want to, you know, that's great, you can call him a former Yankee and, you know, all that stuff, but he, you know, he's got a lot more career games with, you know, I believe the Reds and the Indians than he does as a Yankee.
Yeah. Well, but you know how that, you know how that, didn't his brother play with the Angels, correct?
His brother played with a few teams. He you know, bounced around a little bit.
But you know how it goes. If you wear the pinstripes even for a weekend and you get a job up on the East Coast, you're automatically Yankee for life. Unless, of course,
He played more games with the Reds, the Indians, the Nationals, and the Marlins than he did the Yankees. The only team he played for that he played less for with the Yankees was when he wrapped it up in Houston in 2009, played 10 games, had 13 at-bats, and didn't get a hit.
Yeah, see, I mean, you know, obviously over the last few years, you know, being with the – was he with the Sunday Night Crew? I don't remember exactly. I know he was on the mothership. But I – didn't really remember him being just this great caliber, you know, high-end player, so to speak.
No, I don't think he ever was. And here, his brother, real quick, spent 7 years with Seattle, 5 with Cincinnati, a year with Atlanta, a year with San Diego, and then played 14 games with Minnesota.
Hmm. Well, I was wrong on the team, but I was right on the color.
Yeah, well, you were, I believe, the Boone who played for the Angels, and I want to double-check here, was his father. So, yeah, Bob spent 7 seasons as a California Angel.
Yeah, that's right.
So, but, yeah, he played his father played 19 full years, 10 with the Phillies, those 7 with the Angels, and his last 2 with the Royals. So he had a long career for a catcher. 2,264 games, which is huge for a catcher. So,
now,
you know, and then it, you know,
go ahead, and then I'll ask my question.
No, I just said, you know, it all started with the grandfather, Ray. You know, 6 years in Cleveland, 6 in Detroit, 2 years in Minnesota, 2 with the White Sox, and then a year each with the Red Sox and the Royals. So that's where the family got rolling at. He was a utility infielder, in case anybody was wondering there.
Hmm. And when did Bob Boone's career span? Was that the 70s and 80s?
Yeah, he, you know, since it was so long, it ended up being, you know, 90s. Through a... I think he just, let me double check, and he just fell short. He started in 72 with the Phillies, and oh no, he caught 40 games in 1990 for the Royals. So yeah, 19 seasons spent time in the major leagues.
Wow. Good for him. Now, you know, one of the things that I heard, I forget what it was on, it was just kind of like baseball players, you know, when they're running out of show, just talking about just random crap. And, you know, one of the things, like, a pitcher said he didn't want his son to be a pitcher because sometimes it got kind of boring, you know, being a starting pitcher every fifth day, where a fielding player, you know, kind of pushed his kid to be a pitcher, you know, would push his kid to be a pitcher because sometimes the paydays can be a little higher and you get the 5 days rest. Now, you know, the fact that Boone played so long and was a catcher, you just kind of wonder why he didn't push either one of his boys to maybe get that. And I guess it all comes along with the coaching too, and where you're coached into. Sometimes you get pigeonholed. As much as people don't like to believe that or say it doesn't happen, it does happen. You know, maybe his time on the road kind of didn't help influence that, but, you know, it's kind of surprised that neither one really took on the catching role, especially Aaron, seeing as the other one was a pitcher. Or was he a pitcher?
Yeah, you know, it's odd. Well, you know, the grandfather was an infielder. The father was a catcher. Brett was an infielder, and Aaron was an infielder. And then Matthew, who was the one who didn't get to the major leagues, was the one who ended up being the pitcher.
Oh, okay.
So, you know, it just kind of, you know, kind of odd how they, you know, oddly, you know, nobody played the outfield. You know, we had all the positions covered, except nobody plays the outfield. So, you know, just one of those things.
We haven't heard anybody
in the Boone
too.
Yeah, and I don't know if, you know, Brett, if there's a, you know, Brett or Aaron or Matthew, you know, Boone sibling out there that, you know, we might see in the majors someday. That would be, you know, interesting. They, you know, they have to have one of the longer legacies in baseball, you know, four players and three generations like that. You know, I know most go two, but I don't know too many that go three or more.
It's almost like pro wrestling.
Yeah. You know, we'll have to see. How he does, though. You know, maybe he can get the Yankees to a World Series, right?
Yes and no. I mean, with the staff that they already have, or maybe not so much the staff, but the players. I guess you can consider them staff somewhat. I mean, it's already there. So if they get to a World Series next year, there's going to be too much credit put on him.
Yeah.
You know, from my point of view.
You know, it's a lot like we talk about, you know, NFL quarterbacks. You know, when the team wins, they get all the credit. You know, the team loses, you know, they get all the blame. But yeah, you know, I mean, these wheels were in motion. I mean, you can even say, you know, like here in Chicago, you know, the Cubs wheels were in motion. They just added Madden, you know,
yeah.
The year they won it all. I mean, how much did he really have to do with it, or was he just the right manager in the right place at the right time? You and I have been over it before, how many times he actually almost lost them that World Series instead of helped them win it.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you just got to wonder if, you know, Boone is in a, you know, will he be in kind of a similar situation? you know, is he the right guy at the right time, or, you know, are we a little worried about it going possibly the other way, and, you know, he bombs, and then would the Mickey Mouse Network take him back if he does?
He'll be a sideline reporter.
So,
I guess they don't
know,
because
I'm sure, you know, I'm sure Jessica Mendoza is pretty happy that, you know, he's gone and she gets it, you know, all to herself now. Well, you know, they could always bring him back in the John Crunk role and send him all over the ballpark.
Yeah. Well, you know, sadly, though, I don't see them. I see them being idiotic and putting a third person in the booth. You know, whoever, I forgot
yeah.
who the other one was. You know, Jessica and blah, blah, blah. I don't think they have, for lack of a better word, the balls to go with a two-person booth to be PC, two-man booth with just Jessica. And, you know, and I know the guy's name. It's on the tip of my tongue. I got a picture of his face because he's got one of those faces, you know, just like in Step Brothers where you just want to punch it. His jokes are bad. His stories can be a little, oh, wait, no, maybe that's a different guy. But, I mean, I just don't see them having the gall to go with just her and whoever else. Because you and I talked about it before. It gets a little, it's, you know, it's like indie wrestlers. I got to get in all my moves. Well, and that's what happens when you have a three-person booth. You've got to wait. Each person has to get in their little snippet. And to her credit, she goes out and does some work. She does the legwork. So what she adds to the booth, you can't take away from her, you know? I mean, I know there was a lot of uproar when she first came on, and it was an adjustment to get used to her in a booth, but she actually goes out there. She's talking to the guys. She's in the locker room. She's on the field before the game starts. You know, she adds value to the game that you're watching without getting way too off track like you do when you have three people.
Yeah, you know, and I know obviously she wasn't a baseball player in, you know, college coming up or anything like that, but she was a very talented, you know, college softball player. So she understands, you know, how to kind of break things down or, you know, swing stuff, you know, that kind of thing. You know, she's been able to relate it from one game to the next. And she really does a great job. But yeah, I'm kind of manner you are that the fact that she's a woman is going to make them add that person because they're worried about the backlash.
Mm-hmm. Which
so
I don't
we'll, you know,
see.
We'll,
it's kind of it's whatever to me now. Backlash or not, why would you want to go with the backlash than rather be the innovator, so to speak? I mean, you're firing everybody anyways because you're paying too much damn money for an NBA game that's kind of going down the drain.
All right. It's time for Dan and I to roll out here. But, hey, we'll be back tomorrow at 5:30, provided they don't work in my parking lot all day and I can get some sleep. You know the deal while we're gone, though. SportsTimeRadio.com. Look for that brand-new blog tomorrow morning. Link over to the Facebook page and give that a like. But don't forget the Twitter feed, which is at Sportstime Radio. You can hunt Dan and I down on Twitter as well. We don't mind stalkers at all. As always, a big thanks for listening live. But don't forget, the podcast is available for you anytime you want over at TuneIn.com.
Well, the other guy, Dan Schumann, I think he's one of theirs. Sports Time Radio at that.